Hi, it's Diane, and it is Thursday, October 27th. I'm here with a 3 o'clock group, and we've got a handful of folks already on, and I think some other folks are going to probably join us. But why don't we just start with check-ins and celebrations? Liz, you want to start us off?
My hubby is going in for a big operation on Monday, and when we went to talk to the surgeon, there was a possibility that it was going to be, because they couldn't get it done when we wanted it to be done, because there's a big doctor strike over here, or there was last week, and so there was a possibility that it was going to be done outside Wellington, i.e. Christchurch and or Auckland, or Hamilton, which is like miles and miles and miles away. But we just found out that he will be having one in Wellington, which is where we live, which is just fantastic. So we're all celebrating, everyone's celebrating. That's really fantastic. And Kate, who has ADHD and sensory processing disorder, has been doing some actively choosing to wear clothing. She went out and bought a new outfit, and every part of the outfit was something that went against her sensory problems. Like, she hates velvet, so she bought a velvet choker. She hates words written on t-shirts, so she got this really nice t-shirt with words on it. She wears skinny jeans, but she wore some big jeans. She hates all the ankle socks. It's like all these things. She just went out and it's fine. She's just kind of like faced it and stepped over and just did it. And there's still areas that are uncomfortable, and sometimes it's uncomfortable, but I've seen her wear that outfit several times. So we're really celebrating that. That was just an awesome thing for her to choose to do. And yeah, she's found that it's awesome. She's sort of overcome a little bit. So that's
quite
really
neat.
Yeah.
Awesome. Love that, Liz. Okay. Kathy, are you in a place you can check in real quick?
I am. Things have just been kind of status quo. I've kind of just backed off to let us kind of just adjust to everything and kind of see where things are going. And, you know, Sam's grades have fallen in a couple of areas because of not necessarily just being a little bit overwhelmed, and group projects and things like that didn't work out as well as we had hoped. So I've just kind of been trying to relax a little bit and let things evolve and see what it is that we really need to deal with.
Awesome. Okay. Well, and I imagine that that's not the easiest thing for you. How does it feel?
It feels okay, because I am actually like really overwhelmed with a lot of other stuff right now. I've kind of been able to just let it go, and realizing that it's a conscious choice of letting it go, that might be a really good strategy, has made it much easier for me to do that. That it's okay to let this go and see how he's going to develop with this. It just, you know, because it's a new diagnosis, it's okay to, let's just relax and see what we really need to deal with. We don't have to fix anything right now, because the stuff that I want to fix is really only an issue for me.
Well, and it sounds like it's letting some pressure off of you as well. And instead of going, oh no, I'm not taking care of this, you're going, okay, I don't have bandwidth, I'm going to choose to watch and see.
Right. And maybe this isn't something that I have to take care of, because maybe this really is only going to be my issue. And what's interesting is that as this has, I've kind of backed off of like some of his life skills stuff, he's kind of stepped up. And then he's also seeing that his grades have fallen slightly, and that really bothers him, because he's all about, you know, being an overachiever. So he has come to me a little bit. So when I backed off, he stepped forward, which is what I was really hoping to have with him.
That's something to celebrate. That's awesome.
Yeah, it really is. You know, and I really didn't even realize it because I haven't had time to focus on it. So not until you were talking to me did I realize that that's actually what's going on. So, yeah, that's what I'm celebrating.
Yeah. Well, and the thing that you highlighted in that is what his motivation is. And so carry that into the conversation today because we're going to talk about activating the brain.
Okay.
And motivation is one of those key things. Someone just joined us in New York. Who's that?
Hi, it's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. All right, we're just doing check-ins. So, Pam, can you check in? Oh,
sorry.
You might
I was
have
on
a How was your graduation celebration and everything?
Oh, look, it was really good. So she had her final day at school, which I think we were racing off last time. And I picked her up later the afternoon and she was all over the place. And she said to me she was just overwhelmed. And it was all the emotion of the day, I think. Anyway, so that was a bit of a challenge that afternoon. And then she had last week was the final speech night. And that was, she'd had a really bad day and really didn't want to go and was very difficult about it. And for the last year, I just haven't insisted on anything with her, but I insisted this time, well, for two reasons. One is I really believed that if she didn't go, regret it. But it was also important for me, right? She's my youngest and this was going to be the last ever school event I would go to and I wanted to go. Anyway, so I asked her to come and she came, but she was, you know, she was foul and the traffic was horrible, which meant we got there late and she couldn't sit with her friends. And anyway, and then she messaged me and said, oh my God, I've got to go before we start singing. So I said, all right. And anyway, and then she disappeared and she was there for the end and it was fabulous and she was so happy to be there. And then me and some of the other parents and some of her friends all went and had hot chocolate afterwards and it was lovely. And
awesome.
We got home and she said, oh, Mum, I'm so glad you made me go and it was so good to be there. And we ended up having this lovely conversation where she, you know, said how sorry she was of all the things that had happened because it's been a horrible, you know, it's been horrible for us the last year. And, you know, she was in tears and saying, oh, I'm so happy our relationship's so much better. And, you know, it was amazing. So, and then yesterday she had her first exam and she was obviously very nervous. And she got yesterday afternoon, actually, she said to me, on the way to work, she said, oh, you know, I was just so stressed with the exam and all the energy when I got home. I then did it, you know, I started doing my exercise. I did an hour. I just wanted to keep going, get out of my system. And she said, oh, I've had such a bad day. And she said, you know, I've noticed that when I don't sleep well, I just feel much sadder. So that was a real celebration that she's starting to recognise the pattern in things. So, yeah, it's been good, actually. As much as it's hard for her with the stress of exam, over the next couple of weeks, there's some really bright lights that she's starting to get it and how she needs to manage the ADHD.
Wow. Well, that's great. That's and I'm sure that you've got, you know, the practical milestones and then you've got some ADHD milestones coming in there where the hard work that the two of you guys have been doing together over the last year is really starting to pay off, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
Awesome. Andrea, what's going on at your place?
Well, we're actually seem to be doing pretty well. Is this the older kids group?
It is the older kids group.
Because I haven't been on this call for a while, so so we switched schools this year, and it's there's a lot less stress, so things are going much better. And she's still, you know, struggling with getting up on time and managing her time, but overall, the stress level is so much better that, you know, we can, I think she can focus more on trying to manage her stress, you know, instead of just being in a reactive mode all the time. So it's much better, much, much better.
Wow. But I'm sure it's it feels like a relief, even if it's because of the lower pressure school, but it enables you to kind of keep your head above water a little bit and focus in a different way.
Yeah. It was a really hard decision to make because she didn't want to leave. She's in her third year of high school, so she had 2 years at the other school, and she really didn't want to leave, but I just couldn't see her, you know, us going through all that stress, and so I knew I had something different, and, you know, this school's not perfect. There's a lot of things that aren't good about it, but I felt like the more important thing was for her to not be under constant stress. And, you know, she couldn't do anything. You know, we couldn't get anywhere with her other, you know, challenges because there was that constant stress of her, and it was just too much, and she was trying to do it all.
Well, so that, I mean, I'm sure that was a hard decision to make, and it sounds like you feeling good about making it. So, awesome.
Yeah, I am feeling good about it.
Good,
she hasn't
good.
Really said, like, loves the new school or anything, but.
Maybe that'll come. Karen, what about you?
Hi, I'm back at home, so I'm in a much better place now.
Thank you.
To check in. So thanks for waiting for a little bit to call on me. So so last week we had a good week. I think in terms of celebrations, I would look at my newfound ability from listening to so many of your webinars and listening in and participating in these calls. I found a newfound ability to just sort of stay a little bit more calm when my son starts to spin a little out of control and get, you know, really angry really quickly. Last week, I'm usually on the Tuesday calls, but last week I talked about how he goes, you know, 0, 1, 2, 10. And you
right.
had said something about, well, maybe that's his normal. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that must just be his normal. And so, you know, I'm learning to deal with, okay, that's his normal, and I need to respond in a different way and not, you know, go to 10 right there with him. So I'm really psyched that seems to be working out well. And the other positive that we had last week was at the Hallowell Center, they had sort of like an open house night, and I got my husband to come with me. And so it was really good for him to hear directly, you know, from experts, you know, what is issues that are common for children who have ADHD, and for him to realize that it's not just our son or when our son, you know, has a certain behavior, it's like, oh, well, now we know it's probably because, you know, this executive functioning skill isn't, you know, at its peak performance, you know, having him to learn that he needs to deal with it a little bit better himself as well.
Awesome. Wow. Well, that's great. And now you've got some common language potentially and a great opportunity to kind of continue to build on bringing him more into the conversation. Sounds great.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Thanks.
Lisa, last but not least.
Hi. Well, we're making progress. This year's going pretty well. I've really tried to focus this week on just asking questions rather than making statements about what needs to be done, and that seems to be working very well, like, what do you think you need for this, this, and this? So I've really been trying to catch myself and be more inquisitive and curious rather than barking out, you know, what I think needs to be done. And it's interesting how much information is gleaned when you take that approach. For example, my son was just decided that he had to organize all of his athletic pennies for some reason. And I'm like, okay, well, this is a nice diversion and procrastination tactic. And I said, now, how is organizing your pennies helping you to get your homework done? He said, well, Mom, I feel like a sense of calm because now I feel like everything's in order and now I can begin my homework. So this is a high school junior, by the way. So, yeah, hey, whatever works for you. Instead of just saying, stop doing that, go do your homework. You know, different approach can give you different results. And I think I just have to see those little successes to continue with that and remind myself. So, and I just get more bits of information that way.
It's so exciting to hear you say that, Lisa, that you've had that aha. And I know it wasn't easy for you to kind of make those changes to ask the question instead of making the statement. But it sounds like it's been kind of fun to stay in that place of curiosity and engage him in a different way.
Believe me, it's hard. Like, what would help you to remember to brush your teeth? You know, that kind of stuff. How could you help yourself remind yourself to brush your teeth? You know, that kind of thing. So it's amazing what comes out from those conversations.
Yeah.
So, but the other thing that I guess, I don't know, I guess I'm just telling my victories right now or ahas. I really struggle with what's not done. That is just the hardest thing for me. I see so much progress in so many areas, but then there's those holes that just gnaw at me like, okay, well, why can't we figure this out? You know, and it's just, it's a process. I know this is not going to be fixed. So I just feel like I need to keep just listening and doing the work, and it will all come gradually. But I still
Lisa, that gives me hope. So how could you translate that into a place to take aim? Because that's where we're going next, is kind of where do you want to take aim? So how does that translate?
Well, I think I really need to work on patience and just being less reactive, but that is, you know, I think it depends on what the situation is, but just stopping myself and reevaluating before reacting, I guess, just focusing on that because I just see so much benefit to that. And I feel like if said that before as a place of taking aim, but I need to keep taking aim in that area.
Well, lots of us take aim there every day. You know, it's part of this is just how you look at it. You know, and it's kind of that it's pausing to say, how do I want to see this? You know, Kathy was talking about the fact that it's kind of like choosing to back off instead of just throwing up your hands, you know, and it's just that breath and, okay, how can I see this in a way that's going to help me move the situation forward and not get frustrated? So it's not easy, but how does that?
And I think also maybe backing off probably 10 seconds prior to when I actually back off would be helpful, you know, before it escalates. And then I have no choice but to back off because nothing else is going to happen when I open my mouth again. So it's more, it's like the timing of it. Having an awareness of when to back off, I guess, is my struggle.
So it's kind of like you want to take aim on your response, and it sounds like particularly in those moments where there are things that aren't getting done that you had hoped would be done. Is that right?
Yes, that is very correct.
Great. All right, so let's loop back and get everybody else's, where are you taking aim? So, Liz, where are you taking aim?
Can you hear me?
I've got you up. Yep, I can.
Oh, it's just muted. I chose to open this call being really positive, but things are really, really hard. So I'm focusing on self-care for me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Okay. Pam.
Okay, sorry, I was muted. It's continuing to support Lauren as best I can, and you know, it's been a real journey for me. It really resonates what the others are saying about, you know, I've had to learn to just back off and read the tea leaves and not ask questions, and not ask certain questions and find the right questions to ask and do whatever I can to support her, you know, and sometimes that's easier than others. You know, the other night she was studying and she said, you know, would you mind just sitting with me for a while? But, you know, there were lots of rules around sitting with her, so, you know, I don't sit still very well. But every time I wriggled, shouted at me.
Yeah. And, so Pam, if you were gonna get really clear, if it's about supporting Lauren, is there a particular area where you find it either harder to do it, what you know you want to do, or is there an area where you're not sure where you want to how to best support her? If you were to pick a particular challenge, what would you say?
Well, the overall challenge is just doing what I can to get her through the next couple of weeks. So. Just be really attuned. It's hard for me to sort of focus it really, just to be really, try and be really in tune to what it is that she might need, to asking, you know, what do you think you need from me now? And a lot of the time it's just, oh, can you get me a coffee or can you get me, you know, something to eat? And that's fine. So just continue to do that. And most of the time I think I'm doing it quite well now.
Okay. Good.
So that's just my primary focus for the next couple of weeks.
All right. Helping her to get through her next 2 weeks of requirements. Kathy, what about you?
That's right.
I think kind of along those same lines, school is kind of in a little bit of a lull right now, but basketball season is starting, and so he's going to get busier. And he's starting to get more involved in some extracurricular activities. So the whole thing that we've been seeing coming of juggling multiple demands on his time is going to start. And so I think kind of just being there to help him become aware of not becoming stressed out when he feels like he has too much on his plate.
Great. Okay, Karen.
So what I've been focusing on since we started, or since I started this program, has been on, I forgot what we call it, but sort of like having healthier conversations. Not that it's always like yelling, but just it's a lot of, you know, maybe negative comments from my son and what I feel is back talk or being rude. And so, you know, just having better communication and having healthy disagreements, I guess, is sort of what I've been focusing on. And, you know, last week we talked about, you know, triggers and identifying triggers. So what I'm still sort of focusing on is that area right there and doing a little more reading and research about that. I've sort of talked with my son about it a little bit, but I think I need to still get a better handle around that myself first. So I'm sort of just focusing on trigger management.
Okay, great. Andrea, what about you?
Let's see. I guess I'm focusing on, I'm not sure how to help her with her time management and to try to not tell her how to do it, but because a lot of times, you know, I'll be thinking, oh, she should really, you know, plan this. And I'll say, oh, maybe you want to plan when you want to go do this thing, you know. But then she doesn't do it. And she doesn't do it. And then I start saying, well, how about if we do it this time? And she doesn't have a very...
Can I interrupt you, Andrea? Yeah.
Can
I interrupt you? So it sounds like what you want to focus in on is kind of really how to engage her in figuring out what support she might need for some of her you know, I'm just thinking about the executive function chart from last time, right? So what in some that gap in, I don't know, it's time management and planning, it's a that activation part of executive function. And it sounds like what you really want to do is to take aim on helping her figure out where she needs help.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Okay. So let me just double check. Nobody else has joined us since then. So we are on page 24 and 25 of the workbook this week. We're talking about activating the brain. And before I jump in on that, I want to just kind of go back quickly into the model to remind folks of kind of where we are at and just to kind of reground us in this process. So I'm going to just look real quickly at page 9 and talk about the fact that, you know, the left-hand side is the challenge areas, and we take aim on one particular challenge area, and you guys just went through the process of identifying that. And we educate, and educate is about asking a lot of questions and getting curious and looking at what's going on with my child, what's going on with me in this particular challenge area. And last week we talked specifically about executive function, we talked about executive function, and that's a great place to educate and to learn and look at what's going on in this challenge area. What is it about my daughter being late for school every day that is being caused by executive function? And so looking at that as one example of education. And then the third step, which is where we're starting today, is in planning. And there are four areas that we look at in planning, and we're going to cover those over the next four sessions. We look at activating the brain, parenting positively, shifting expectations, and systems and structures. Because we know that some combination of those, either one or more, is probably a great way to address a particular challenge once we've taken aim and we've gotten really clear on what might be going on. So today we're going to talk about activating the brain because a lot of our challenges, we know from the conversation about executive function, that our kids' executive function challenges really impact almost every aspect of their life. And so that if we can help their brain to work more effectively and efficiently, then we've kind of given them a leg up to do all the other things we want to be able to do, whether it's putting a system and structure in place or responding with more positivity or even, you know, figuring out what a realistic expectation is. It's hard to do that if you know that the brain isn't optimized. And so there's different ways that you can optimize the brain. It could be about exercise. It could be about diet. It could be about sleep. It could be about self-care. And we all need brain optimization. We all need to activate our brains, but particularly in the ADHD brain or a brain that has anxiety or some of the other challenges that our kids have, it's important to just feed the brain. We want it to run effectively. We want to regulate moods. And so a couple of you mentioned triggers and trigger management. If our brain is well fed, we're less likely to be triggered. Our kids are less likely to be triggered. And I don't just mean fed like as in eating, although eating is a key part of this. But as the example I would give you is that I had a family that I was working with that had a 9-year-old daughter who was just having significant issues with meltdowns to the point where they couldn't even eat dinner together. And we did an exercise where we've talked about this before in this group, where she did a trigger journal and she looked at, you know, when is my daughter's meltdowns happening? What's going on right before them? Is there a particular time of day? Is there a particular event that's kind of triggering this? And what they realized was that her meltdowns were typically happening in late afternoon after her medication was worn off, when she was really hungry, and when she was really tired. And so I think that it just kind of knowing that, oh, wow, if I get my child a snack on the way home, that might prevent some of the meltdowns just because her brain is optimized in a different way. A lot of us have our kids on medication, and that certainly is one way to activate the brain, but it's not the only way. And what's important here is to just know that if your child is having a difficult time, that doing something to help get some dopamine going, for lack of a better word, to the part of the brain that wants to take action can be really helpful. The other thing that kind of comes into play here besides exercise and diet and medication and some of the other things, mindfulness that can work really well to activate the brain, is motivation. Because we know that the ADHD brain particularly works much better if there's a motivation there. And that really does, it's actually a way to activate the brain. So Those are my thoughts on brain activation, and I'm curious what comes up for you guys around this topic.
This is Karen. I think I need to do a better job with the diet. I've started reading about that, and my son's diet is probably not the best diet for him. So I think that, you know, we need to focus a little bit more on diet and exercise. You know, I've certainly heard for years how exercise is so important, and, you know, I try to convey that to my son. But by the end of the day, after he comes home from school and he sort of held it all together, he's just sort of tired, and he's like, I just need to sit down and relax. And I need to get better at, you know, after, say, an hour or whatever, just reminding him, like, all right, well, why don't you go, you know, shoot some baskets or go ride your bike or, I don't know, go jump on the trampoline or something. So that's what I'm thinking about in terms of activating the brain for us.
Great. Love that. Who else?
This is Kathy. I've realized with Sam that in the summer, I have to, he constantly has to be intellectually stimulated, because if he's not, that's when the more typical hyperactivity and annoying behaviors will start with him. If he's left to his own devices, he will, you know, annoy his brother. He will just annoy all of us. So it's helped us to realize that he really has to have that continuous challenge to his brain to be engaged, because if he is left to be bored, and even, you know, even video games or hanging out with friends, that's not going to get it. He has to be stimulated on an intellectual level. Otherwise, everyone around him is going to be miserable.
Well, it's great that you know that. And I'm thinking about the fact that you said that basketball season is coming up, and so his the schedule and his level of intensity is going to shift. How is this going to play out differently when that change comes up?
It's going to be really interesting, because this is a whole new territory for us. He's, you know, he's now playing in a different league, and, you know, at our small school that he was in last year, basketball practice was immediately after school, and so he would stay after school and finish homework and then go to practice and be home by 5 o'clock in the evening, and that was all good. This is going to be a whole new world where he's going to be coming home from school and then having practices later in the evening, and he's a kid that likes to go to bed early. So I don't know. It's a whole different league. It's just going to be really, really different. So I'm kind of just on watch for what's going to happen. And he's also he's going to take like a little job where he's going to be helping with doing the books and the buzzer at the grade school games on Saturdays. So I'm really, you know, kind of trying to be really cautious to make sure he doesn't overschedule himself.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. Other thoughts on brain activation?
Hi, this is Lisa. I don't know if anyone else wanted to go.
Go for it, Lisa.
Some things that sparked my brain, activated my brain during this conversation, were a trigger journal. I thought that was an excellent idea, and I think I'm going to adopt that, and maybe an anxiety journal, which would probably be one and the same. But like, what I feel like for my son's brain to be activated, his anxiety needs to be at a low enough level that it's not hijacking. What's that term you use? Hijacking his
amygdala hijack.
So he's not in amygdala hijack mode, because that just, he procrastinates and he, you know, just does not get started on things. So I think that is something that I'm going to try doing, that trigger journal.
Yeah.
But I think that, you know, one thing that I know is a trigger for me, and I just did this, it's going on Power School. So I feel like I need to find a mantra that I say to myself when I look at Power School, or maybe just don't even look at it. That might be a better idea. But, you know, like Net Classroom, there's all different varieties of this way to check to see how your child's doing. Part of me wants to put on those blinders and just, you know, support him like I can and know that there's probably some holes there, a lot of holes. But, you know, I can't help myself but check in, even though he's in high school. So that's something
well, and
I feel
great
like
that
I
you
work.
Know. Yeah, it's great that you know that that's one of your triggers, Lisa. What do you think you could do that would make it a little bit less stressful when you go in?
Maybe just don't go in. Maybe just don't check it.
So the ostrich method is certainly a method. And I guess the question is, what's the downside of the ostrich method?
I think I probably need to do like a minute of breathing before I go on Power School, like literally like meditation, Power School meditation before logging on, because it gets me into a whole tailspin or going down the rabbit hole. Oh my God, I got to call the teachers and oh my God, I gotta do this and he's got to get that in and we got to call the tutor. It's like activating not only the brain, but my son's team, quote unquote. So that's me, I think, reacting. It's not really having anything to do with my son other than, you know, the fact
yeah.
that things are
yeah,
missing.
Well, it's a great awareness. Now, so this is one of my trigger areas. Do you mind if I share kind of what I ended up doing?
Sure, I would like that, yes. I would like to know how people
so
handle
I tried the ostrich method for a while, and I just didn't go online, and I found out that the assignment still didn't get done if I didn't look. So I started two things that I started doing is one is kind of holding my son accountable for doing it. And so he has to go in, and he goes in once a week, and then he's supposed to go over the results with me once a week. And so it's kind of like I'm looking at it through his filter. So he'll say, oh, Mom, that I've got this. This is a zero, but I've already da-da-da-da. So the answer is already there by the time it gets to me, so it's a little bit less stressful. The other thing that we were talking about mindset, and I think mm-hmm. that, you know, we had one point at which he had, like, 26 assignments missing. And so now mm-hmm. when I go in there, if the number's less than 10, I'm like, woohoo, awesome. So it's just really this kind of glass half full sort of thing. It could be worse. It could be better, yes. But if I'm looking for, oh, my gosh, how terrible this is versus, okay, it's only 10. We can handle this. It's a very different perspective. So how does that resonate for you, Lisa?
No, that works. I wanted to know if there was some mantra that people had while they were looking, you know, and self-talk that was happening. That would be good to impart the wisdom of that onto me. But I think that's good because it's kind of, you know, oh, that's not so bad. You know, maybe the more of an attitude of, I don't know if I put a number on it because, but maybe just if it's more than 50% in, then that's probably good. You know, maybe a percentage versus a
number. Well, I'm wondering
depending
if
upon
if the
subject, you know.
Yeah, so I'm wondering what the message is. Is the message one that you can handle it? Is the message one that the world won't end? Is the message one that, you know, things are getting better? I mean, what is the message that you think would most help calm your anxiety at that moment when you look?
Well, I think your suggestion of, it's really hard to get him to look at it because he stresses out when he looks at it because he sees all the missing work. But I think, you know, if both of us just could have a mindset, look, this is just fact-finding. It's just a conversation. There's no judgment, you know, just to have a reassurance that I'm not going to yell at him or say anything, just like, you know, more of a fact-finding mission and take the emotion and judgment out of it would be probably good. Maybe he'd be more apt to look at it and report through his eyes instead of me seeing it and reacting and not knowing the backstory.
Other thoughts?
Diane?
We
had this last year with Morgan when we made some really poor choices on his schedule last year, and he was completely overwhelmed. And I was looking at the portal daily and just going into the tailspin, and I generally do it right before he was coming home from school. And then I was just raring to go, and I would just sabotage him the minute he walked in the door, and it was awful. And we actually had a meeting with the teachers, and the counselor said to me, how often are you looking at the portal? And I said, every day. And she said, you have to stop that. because that's not fair to him or to you. And so we came up with the situation where I no longer looked at it. My husband looked at it, which meant that no one ever looked at it, and that wasn't working. So then Morgan actually came to me and said, what if we look at it together so I can explain to you? And that really helped, because then I knew what, you know, maybe the reason was that he was absent a day, and so this assignment, or maybe this was going on or that was going on. So looking at it together was much better than me looking at it and then getting myself revved up and jumping on him the minute he walked in the door.
Love that. Love that. Awesome. All right. So what other thoughts? I want to open up the conversation if other people, if people have something in particular that's either come up for them in this conversation or that has been kind of weighing on them that they want to make sure that they get some thoughts or laser coaching around today. And a few of you do have yourselves on mute, so just know that.
I have a question. It's Karen again. So I had my entire family do that executive function chart exercise that is in the workbook on page 22 that we were supposed to do after our last conversation. But
All right.
So I had everyone go through and circle their the main topic, and then, you know, circle what issues they had underneath the topics. But now I don't know what to do with that information. So everyone's like, okay,
Mom,
now what do we do? And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, so what did you notice? What did you notice when? So give me one example of what you noticed from the results of the chart.
That my younger son, who hasn't been diagnosed, circled a heck of a lot more than my son, who has been diagnosed.
So he filled out his own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everyone filled out their
own
about themselves.
So do you think? So do you think that that's self-awareness? Do you think that's the fact that he's more critical by nature? What do you think's going on with him?
Well, that's an interesting point. He is definitely more critical by nature. I know, it made me pause and, you know, think, oh, boy, I wonder if we need to get him tested. He's the one who brought up to me that he feels that he has some issues with reading comprehension. And so I had already reached out to the school, and he's on the list to be tested within the next couple of weeks. So
yeah.
I wasn't going to do anything regarding having him tested for ADHD until I see what happens with the results from this reading test, and then I, you know, sort of take it from there.
Well, and I think the reality is that we're going to all have our own perspective, and every day is going to be different depending on our anxiety level, our stress level. Stress will, you know, day-to-day stress and overwhelm will change your executive function challenges and your perception.
That's right. Yeah, we could probably circle it today, and it might come out with different results for each person. Yeah, that's true.
It's true. So I guess the question is, what question do you want to ask him to help you figure out what to do with the information?
I don't know. I guess maybe I could ask him, you know, does he have any, you know, while he sees that he has some challenges in these areas, is there anything that I could do to help him, or that he needs assistance with in order to feel better about that particular challenge.
Great. So asking if he wanted some help. The other
yeah.
thing that's kind of coming up for me is, you know, how much of a problem he circled them all, but how, you know, how engaged or interested is he in making some changes in his areas?
Okay.
Because I think that that's the piece of it is that, I think that our kids may see that they have the problems, but they may also not care, you know, and so I think that's part of what we talk about is kind of starting where our kids are motivated. And Kathy, you were talking about how your son really wants to do really well in school, which is helpful if we start from where the motivation lives and use that as the place we take aim with them or the area of focus, it can make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thank you.
Other questions or thoughts? for requests for laser coaching. I'm open for laser coaching too. We've got some time.
I guess I have a laser coaching request. We did have the situation where Sam's language arts teacher, she's a gifted teacher, but she's not teaching this class gifted. But she does come up with some innovative things that they have to do, and they had to do a website design for a mythological character, I think it was. But she partnered them with other kids in the class, and my suspicion is that because Sam has been doing very well in the class, she partnered him with a kid who wasn't really as motivated, and you know, Sam said he sleeps during class, and so she partnered Sam with this kid, and the project was multi-step, which is a challenge for him, and he did his usual thing of just putting his head down and just slogging through it and, you know, trying to get as much of it done as he possibly could. But they ended up getting a D, or actually an F, on the project. And my belief is that the teacher realized that, you know, Sam was kind of on his own on this one. So she gave them an opportunity to write a paper to bring the grade up. And he forgot to do the paper. And so now he's got this D on his record. And she did not get to attend the meeting that we had with all of his teachers after he was diagnosed. So I'm kind of struggling with, how do I intervene? It's one grade out of a multitude of grades. He's still got, you know, a high B in the class. He'll probably bring it back up to an A. But at the same time, how do I talk to this teacher and say, hey, this isn't my kid's fault. It was that other kid that did this.
Well, and it makes sense because you're sitting here going to want to advocate for my son if he needs it, but I also don't want to be that mom. And so you're kind of
sitting there
in the middle. So there's two questions that come to mind. The first one is kind of the meeting you had. Are you guys at the 504 level? Or are you at the SST level? Which level? What meeting did you have?
We had the 504. And which he does not, we are, at this point don't qualify, nor do we need a 504 because he is gifted. He completes all of his work on time. So he doesn't need the extra testing. He doesn't need an IEP or anything at all like that. So we're really not needing any kind of academic intervention.
So there was no accommodations that they gave him for turning in late assignments or anything like that?
Nothing formalized. The teachers that did attend the meeting all said to him, you know, we want you to come to us. And they were, the accommodations they were willing to give were, if you have multiple assignments or if it's a multi-step project, come to us and we'll check off and make sure that you've completed all the requirements of the rubric before you turn it in so that you don't get, you know, caught by surprise, because we realize this is an area where you struggle.
Got it. Well, so there's two common accommodations, and I think the question is kind of, you know, how do you help Sam? So the second question is, what do you think Sam wants you to do?
Nothing. He doesn't want me to do anything.
How hard is that going to be for you?
It's going to be a little bit difficult, yeah, to not at least send an email to her and say, hey, you know, I realized that something happened here, and, you know, I just want you to know that we're aware of it and we're watching and making sure that he doesn't get himself into this situation again. Because, you know, I don't blame her. I don't blame anyone. I just want her to know. It's so hard because, you know, all the teachers that we've had, they all knew us all so well, and we all knew all the kids so well, and this is just such new area for us to be in this massive school with all these people who don't know my kid and don't know me. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's just so foreign.
It's hard because you don't have that relationship. And it sounds like, Kathy, what's important to you is kind of finding a way to connect with a teacher and not being that mom at the same time and honoring some requests. And so I have every confidence that you'll figure out a way to talk to her or bring up the subject or drop a note or whatever it is that's going to kind of, sorry this happened, and noticed you weren't at our SST meeting or whatever they called it, and just wanted to kind of let you know.
Yeah, it was the SST meeting.
We're working on some of his executive function challenges, and just know that we're doing what we can, and please have as much of an open door communication as you can with us, or whatever it is that but it's kind of figuring out how to communicate in a way. It sounds like you don't want to ask for special dispensation. Is that the right word?
Yeah, right, exactly.
So what do you most want to say to the teacher?
I want to say to her that this is not typical of Sam, and that this, I want her to recognize that this really bothers him, and that I'd like her to have a little bit more awareness that just because he's gifted doesn't mean that he doesn't have his struggles as well. So don't overburden him by asking him to bring along a kid who isn't motivated, because Sam's got enough on his plate right now.
Well, and that may be one of the more important parts of the conversation. I think a lot of kids have accommodations around group assignment so that they don't get put in, that they get put in a good group, or they don't get put in a group with kids that, are different, that are, too much like them or not enough like them, because a lot of these kids even have social issues. So, Well, it sounds like what you really want to do is to find a way to communicate with her, not ask for a change, but just to make sure she's aware of what's going on.
Right. Yeah, that's basically it. And it's not a comfortable role for me to be asking teachers to make accommodations for my kids, because it's not something we've ever had to do before. Any accommodations that they made were almost, it was just invisible. And that's what the psychologist said, that we just inadvertently had him in the best situation that we could have for middle school, because he had the same teachers for 3 years in a row. He had the same kids. He was in the same classrooms for 3 years in a row. So they knew him so very well. And if I asked any one of those teachers, they did say to me, oh, no, he doesn't have ADHD. He's fine. He's completely fine. But then looking at it, I was like, that's because y'all were just inadvertently nurturing him and enabling him so that his symptoms didn't manifest at school, because they were there to support him. And they wanted to support him because he's a really good kid, and he was really, he's one of the better students that they had. So they didn't look at it that he had issues. So,
Kathy, so we need to move to our wrap-up, but the challenge I want to give you is to kind of really look at that voice in your head that says, I don't want to be the mom that has to ask for accommodations or help from them, and kind of figure out what's underneath that. And we can spend some time on that in the next call, or take it into the conversation with Elaine if she's on next time. Okay.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Okay, so we're on the wrap up on page 25, and just take a few minutes and write down your answers to the four closing questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? So jot down some notes, and I would love to hear from everybody. I think we've lost at least one person dropped off, but I'd love to hear from everybody.
Oh, no, that was me. My phone just died.
Oh, did it? Is that what happened? Sorry. Okay, Karen. You're back, yay. So I'd love to hear one aha and one commitment in terms of action from everybody as a form of checkup today. Whenever you're ready, somebody can go volunteer to go first.
I didn't have so much as Pam of an aha. It's just a reminder that I need to continue to be curious with her, and remind myself to be curious with, giving her support over this, final 2-week exam period that she's in. around, you know, asking her what she thinks she needs from me. I think somebody used those words and I liked it.
Love that. Thanks, Tim. Who else?
It's Liz. I actually just found it very difficult paying attention today, to be honest. But kind of interesting, that last conversation about school. So my clarity or takeaway was somebody, I think you said, Diane, day-to-day stress can affect our executive function. And I think I'm just barely managing my own executive function issues, but having to look beyond that. So that's probably where my self-care links in, that I'll be doing the things first off to activate my brain. So at least my brain is optimally functioning to manage what's coming up for us.
Well, and it sounds like, I mean, that's a great spin on the self-care, Liz, to know that part of it is just kind of managing, you know, some of the emotions and some of the, you know, fears and some of the other stuff that's going on for you, and to making sure you're getting enough sleep and eating right. And sometimes that's all we can do to kind of get through the day. So my heart is with you, dear.
Thanks.
Andrea.
Yes, hi. Let's see, what did I focus on? I was listening to what everybody was saying, and well, one thing I thought was that, you know, my daughter had really the good thing is that she does understand about what she needs as far as accommodations at school. Before, I think she was kind of like in denial. She was saying, I don't need this, I don't need that. And now I think she realizes that those things do help her, and she's accepted them, and she's actually using, you know, some of the accommodations that she's getting. So that was a good thing. And I think what I want to focus on actually is to go back in, because I missed last time the executive functioning. I mean, I've been through it before, but I want to actually go back, because this year you guys have a different, the workbook is a little different than last year. So I want to go back and look through it again and just kind of review it and think about it.
Yeah, there actually is a new exercise that we did, Andrea, with the executive function chart. We brought that in from Sanity School. And so there's a new chart in that. So it'd be a great conversation. If you have any questions about it, go ahead and post it in the forum.
Okay.
Awesome. Great.
Thank you.
Lisa.
Hi. Regarding that workbook, I printed out another set and just had it bound at Kinko's. So I have the one from last year and the one from this year, because I couldn't be bothered trying to figure out which pages go where, so I just printed it out again. That was my way of dealing with it. It just works for me, because when people are referring to page numbers, I just didn't want to be off on that. So anyway, got two copies. I think my aha or my takeaway is I really need to continue to see the glass half full and look at the progress that's been made over the, compared to this time last year. It's amazing. And really just focus on that and see things through that filter, whatever I am dealing with. Think half full, and that'll be my mantra as I'm stressing before I react. Half full, half full, half full, whatever it takes.
Love that.
But I think that will help to reframe a lot of stuff that comes my way.
And I think for the person who was, and I'm sorry, I don't remember your name, but one thing I remember from one of the conversations that we were on where when you feel like you have no control and things do not seem like they're going in the right direction, the only thing you can focus on is taking care of yourself, just really good self-care, you know, whether that's eating, exercise, go for a walk, breathe. That's, you know, seems to help in the moment.
Yeah, love that. Thank you for sharing that. Karen.
Wonder we left. Are you there, Karen? Yep. She must have fallen off again. Kathy, go ahead.
Oh, I guess realizing that that sometimes when I back off, then they step forward, and that's really the key, that I need to give them space to do that.
And what is that? So, what does that mean practically that you need to do to make that happen?
Well, because I've kind of been doing that. So, I guess the action item for me is going to be to figure out a way to sit down with the teacher, or just even have a phone conversation with the teacher, and just open those lines of communication with her, so that I then realize that that's okay for me to do that.
Cool. Awesome. All right. So group is meeting again next week. Just so you know, this is, we have like 1 week in the fall that we've got to meet 2 weeks in a row because of the holidays, and we've got to figure out how to juggle it. So next week we're meeting again, and then there'll be a lifeline call the week after that. So I believe Elaine should be back. It looks like Elaine's going to be back next week. So I will miss you. It's been lovely being with you guys the last couple of weeks. And feel free to reach out if you have anything you need help with. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Diane.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.